You're listening to HG 101, a proud part of the Greenlit Podcast Network. Hey there, loyal listeners. As you know, the HG 101 podcast is made possible by our amazing Patreon supporters who help keep the show alive by donating as little as $2 a month. You can be like them. By chipping in, you'll not only help keep the lights on at HG 101 Towers, you'll also gain access to our secret patrons-only RSS feed. That's the feed that gets an extra bonus episode every week. Here's a taste of what you've been missing. Cyborg Justice.
Cyborg Justice doesn't even sound like a real game. It sounds like the kind of game that'd be, like, the name of the game like a Nickelodeon sitcom. Like, oh man, my friend is framing me for shoplifting Cyborg Justice, and I am grounded
Bone
for a month.
Bone Storm 2, yeah. You're not really a cyborg. What you really are is just a robot. But Cyborg sounds cooler than Robot Justice. Robot Justice sounds like two robots are getting a divorce or something. It doesn't sound like...
If you're like, Cyborg Justice, you play as a robot that punches things and you punch things quite well. Okay.
I mean, justice is served in a very, like, punchable format.
Street justice!
It's not like somebody, like, you punch a cyborg enough and he's like, I've wasted my life, oh my god, I was so wrong. It's not poetic justice, right? So go to patreon.com/HG101 and donate a couple bucks. That's patreon.com/HG101. Act now and be a hero.
For some, this is painfully obvious, but hardcore gaming means it ain't for the novices. The main source to brain train your knowledge and lay maintain with a course aimed at colleges. To HG101, we give the honor, thanks to Kirk, a lot of Xerxes to host it proper, as well as Satanga, Cal and Bobinator, Booker Hart and others discuss and discover all the 47,000 games, and when they rate them, you can bet it's scientifically locked in position. Speaking of which, no system is obscure, and look, they wrote a book about it, go out and cop yours.
Hello and welcome to HardcoreGaming101.net's top 47,858 games of all time podcast, where we objectively, definitively, and scientifically rank the games that you nominate. My name is Xerxes, and I'm the show's main host and producer, and on this podcast we have three rules. Rule 1, all rankings are final, official, and scientifically accurate. Rule 2, you can nominate one game at a time via 5-star review on iTunes or Stitcher. Those are the ones we try to get to first. You can also go to bit.ly/rankthisplease. and add a game to the slush pile and cross your fingers. We make no guarantees on those. Rule number 3, you can nominate games that have already been nominated, but just don't nominate games you've already ranked. See the master list for yourself. It's at bit.ly/47kgames. That's bit.ly/47kgames.
Dog's power. Hey, dog's power. Hey, dog's power. Hey, dog's power.
We're on a freaking dinosaur egg.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to number 251. That's the 251st episode of this podcast, I assume, if we make it. We've had some technical difficulties tonight, but that's not stopping us. No, sir, true believers. We are merrily marching on our way to talk about Marvel Ultimate Alliance. This game was nominated to us for us by Just a Disney Geek on Stitcher. It was developed by Raven Software, published by Activision for everything but the GameCube on October 24th, 2006 in the United States. Who's with me to talk about this game?
Just Bob Mater, just me.
Yep. Well, like we said, we've had technical difficulties and we apologize for that, but we're going to keep on trucking because that's just what we do. This game is a part of Raven Software, they also made the X-Men Legends games, right?
Yeah, and those were basically the same kind of game.
Yeah, so those came out, like, I think I played them both on the... They came out for everything as well, right?
PS2, GameCube, Xbox, usual stuff.
Mm. And those games are based on the X-Men comic series by Marvel Comics. This game is the third game in that series, and it's the first game that makes non-X-Men related characters playable. So... I think at the time it would be harder to explain this to people, but now it's not so hard because we've got like the Marvel movies and you got the X-Men movies, and up until Disney bought the X-Men, right, by buying 20th Century Fox, they couldn't be in the same movie. And that was kind of like they were always separated. So it was easy to understand how you could have a Marvel game with just X-Men or whatever in it. But this one has some X-Men and it's got a bunch of other people. It's got your Spider-Mans. It's got your Incredible Hulks. It's got your, the other Spider-Man, I guess. I don't know.
Fantastic Four that's got all those folks.
Yeah, all that good stuff.
I'd say it has about pretty much every major Marvel person, if you care about that kind of thing.
I think it does. Like, it also, like, including some characters I don't think I even had heard of or couldn't remember. And it does go through, like, they try to touch on just about every major corner of the shared Marvel Comics universe.
I can tell you this is way before Deadpool was, like, popular with all the 14-year-olds, for sure.
Yeah, he was more of a, well, I don't know. He's popular in the comics. You know, like, this comic sold. But yeah, there was no Deadpool. There was no Marvel Cinematic Universe in 2006. That was still 2 years away from even starting. So,
yeah, that's when we're still getting movies like Daredevil. Almost makes me miss him, honestly.
Yeah, it's amazing how many decades we've gone at just pumping out comic book movies left and right. And the public isn't tired of them yet. It's amazing. Like, anyway, this game was kind of something new. So that was before we had that sort of thing happening on the big screen. It wasn't even imaginable back then. So to have all these characters in the same game and have them, you know, it's like an action RPG of sorts, right?
Game I could compare it most close compared to be Diablo, except a lot more streamlined, I'd say.
Yeah, it's not really randomized, is it? I don't think so.
Nah, it's all pretty much handcrafted.
Yeah, and but it is like Diablo in that, like, there's stuff that gets dropped, loot. You collect a lot of, you know, I don't know what the coins are in this game, the wing-wangs or whatever.
There's not really that much focus on loot, honestly. There's, like, a handful of things you can pick and equip, but you don't have to, like, sit through and compare everything you pick up. It's not...
No, I think that... Is it different than the X-Men Legend games?
Yeah, it's always been about the same. I think you have, like, 3 slots per character, so you're not, like, right, sifting through helmets or something to find the bonus you like the most.
It's not as insane as Diablo is. It's more like... But there are things you can equip, and you can buy stuff. You can buy new powers, and when you level up, you use points on powers and things like that. It's pretty much exactly what you'd expect. And honestly, like, at the time, it was exactly what you would expect, even if you hadn't played the other two games, because it's, you know, these kind of game mechanics were getting to be pretty common. You form a team of, you can have up to 4 people on characters on a team. You can have those all 4 be controlled by people, or you can have 2 characters on autopilot,
or 1 or 3 characters. Co-op, but I'd love to see what it's like sometime.
That's probably the best way to do it. I recall these games being a lot of fun playing with a group.
I will say this game does get kind of repetitive eventually if you're just doing it on your own. It doesn't really change up a whole lot.
As for, like, what it's like, let's see, what's the story? The story is very convoluted, as any Marvel story would be.
The TLDR is that Doctor Doom is gathering all the villains. He's going to do a really bad thing. So Nick Fury of S.H.I.E.L.D. gathers all the heroes and tells them to go stop the bad thing. That's
Doctor
about it.
Doctor Doom, yeah. Okay, so Doctor Doom and the Masters of Evil are plotting. They're up to their old tricks. I just love the idea that there's, like, a team of guys, and they decide they're going to be called the Masters of Evil. Because that's really a mission statement right there, right? It's like, you're really embracing it.
I mean, this could be worse. There's, like, Magneto and, like, the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants.
Right.
And that's the guy who's trying to, like, make people not...
Yeah.
Make mutants not...
You shouldn't be prejudiced against mutants. Go, Brotherhood of Evil Mutants, and teach them the folly of their ways. I love that man. That fake, lovely man. So it's like... You know, they do the stuff. They go to the places, and they're going to be setting up some big, crazy scheme. And it's just a lot of... I wish I could have played through this again, but I don't have it for anything, but I think I played it on... Was it out for the PS2? I think it was.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I must have played it on the PS2, but I just can't... maybe I borrowed it from somebody.
I bought the Steam version a long while ago, even before we started talking about ranking this.
Is that still around?
No, thanks, Disney.
Yeah, that's too bad. They should bring that back out, because that's the way I would like to play it, but I bet that's pretty good. Does it have online multiplayer? Or?
I think so. It also has all the DLC characters.
I mean, all the servers, I'm sure, are shut down, but...
You can also play as Dr. Doom because he's DLC, and I think there's like one line that acknowledges that you're playing as him, and that's about it.
The way it should be. So yeah, you go all, you go to like a SHIELD helicarrier. You go to secret, what's the bad guy SHIELD?
Hydra?
Yeah, you probably go to wherever they live.
It's kind of like a world tour of the Marvel world, like all the places you'd probably want to go in a Marvel game.
I mean, it even takes you to, I think, like where like Iron Fist comes from, like this mythical orientalist fantasy land where the guy with the really like Fu Manchu stand-in kind
of
guy.
Of the Mandarin, I think that's like Iron Man's bad guy, if I'm right.
Oh, Iron Man's bad guy. Okay. Yeah, my mistake. Yeah, so you do that stuff. Let's see, where else do you go? You go to the place
Marvel
that's hell, but that's not hell, I think.
Yeah, they call it, quote-unquote, Mephisto's realm.
But yeah, Mephisto being the guy who's the devil, but he's not the devil devil.
Yeah, because comics can't do that.
And he rules over a hell of sorts that is not the hell. And that's not even counting the Norse god hell, which is also a thing, the hell with one L.
I don't think they've ever explained how, like, all these religions come together in Marvel, and they probably won't ever do that.
They just do. That's the crazy thing. It's a very ecumenical universe. It's all there. So, yeah, you go to Asgard. You do all the stuff. All the stuff you want to do. And it's kind of hard to talk about it. Oh, the coolest thing. Can we just go ahead and spoil the ending?
You know what? Sure, let's go for it. We'll warning,
yeah.
Spoilers,
so
be careful.
Dr. Doom, I think his goal is to steal the power of Odin, who is, of course, Thor's father, both in Marvel Comics and in Norse mythology and all that. He steals the power of Odin, and he is going to use it to take over the world. But the heroes are saved by the Watcher, who's this giant-headed alien who shows up at times of great peril and import, and his job is to just watch and not interfere and do anything, which means every time he shows up, he interferes and does something. So he saves them, and they takes them to the moon, and then they find out that what they got to do is Dr. Doom. They find out Dr. Doom's plan is to do something, and he's going to brainwash or take over or commandeer something Galactus, who is the Fantastic Four's like existential threat. He's this planet eating dude in a cool hat who is really big, and he goes from planet to planet eating the planets. And he's currently attacking the Skrull homeworld, which, if the kiddos remember Captain Marvel, the Skrulls are not usually good guys. In that movie, they are, which was a great twist and all that. Sorry for spoiling that movie if you haven't seen it, but yeah, you've had like a year, so get over it. And so he's going, Galactus is going to eat the Skrull homeworld, and then you show up and you got to fight Galactus at the end. And it's really cool. I don't know. Like, just trying to explain this makes no sense. It doesn't, I can barely wrap my head around this kind of story anymore. Yeah. But I
basically,
guess you're a comics fan. Yeah.
You're just kind of just being dragged from place to place until the game tells you to go somewhere else.
But you can also go back to places you've been. You can do like training missions, which are kind of a big part of leveling up your characters. You can do all kind of, like, you know, and you, I don't think you have all the characters immediately. You probably unlock them as you go. And what's cool about the game, what I think this game does well that it gets from the X-Men Legend games is just getting the powers of the characters right, which is kind of a tough balance when you've got characters who are supposed to be like strong enough to like punch a hole in the moon.
Actually, I kind of make a complaint real quick if we're talking about gameplay now.
Sure, go ahead.
I feel like a lot of the characters feel kind of samey, because, like, base control-wise, you got your, like, light attack and heavy attack and some combos. Everybody has all those, and, like, some people might have projectile attack, some people might have melee attack. There's, like, a buff, there's, like, some, like a debuff, and that's kind of about it. I mean, does vary between characters, but not as much as you'd hope. Like, I think about as crazy as it gets is some characters can fly or swing or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, like, so Spider-Man, he's constantly swinging from things you can't see to do his, like, little, you know, moves. But I do feel like it all works pretty well, considering how many different kinds of powers and stuff they have to have. There's other mechanics that we should get into. I do want to correct myself. I'm looking over a synopsis of the plot, and I think I got almost everything wrong. But just reading this is really funny. So after you've been teleported to the moon, Uatu the Watcher reveals that the only way to defeat Dr. Doom is to acquire a... This is according to Wikipedia, which knows things that I don't. To defeat Dr. Doom is to acquire a piece of the Macron crystal. And I don't know what that is. It is... I don't know. To steal the Muonic Inducer from Galactus, who is currently attacking the Skrull homeworld. The team is then sent to the Shi'ar Empire, where they fight Deathbird and the Imperial Guard in order to restore Lilandra Nirimani to the throne and gain a portion of the Macron crystal. After retrieving the crystal, the heroes go to the Skrull homeworld, and with the help of the Silver Surfer, the heroes disable Galactus and steal the Muonic Inducer.
I'm pretty sure only half those things you said are actually words.
Well, they're all made up. It's like, it's, I recognize some of these. I think I was a X-Men fan mostly. So I recognize, like, I think the crystal is something that has to do with the space people that the X-Men would hang out with for no apparent reason and stuff like that. But anyway, like, the point is this is nuts. Like, even if you like comics, like, this is crazy. Just to have all this stuff together is really, it's like a, you know, those, like, how every year there's like a once in a lifetime crossover event in comics. If you follow comic books,
yeah, like, it's basically one of those.
I don't, that's what it is. Right. And I would say, like, it's more fun than that, because in the end, in a comic book, like, a giant crossover between 200 characters is just going to mean you see most of those characters for like 1.5 pages and that's it. You'll see like a, you know, like 5 dudes get jobbed out right away and all that stuff when they fight the new real ultimate power and all that stuff. And this game is a lot more fun than that.
I would say there's kind of a similar thing going on. There's like so many villains you just kind of run into out of nowhere and they talk at you for about 30 seconds and you just beat them up and they just go away.
That is that's what a lot of the game is. It's like you're moving through an environment. You can trash the hell out of most places, which is great because that makes you feel like you're powerful, like you're breaking meaningless objects, and there's really no real reward for doing it. But I'll be damned if I don't do that pretty much.
You get coins out of it, and that's always satisfying. Just smash things, get coins in games.
You just see trash stuff, and that's great. It makes you feel cool and powerful. You fight huge mobs of guards. There's like big damage sponge bosses to fight, usually a couple per area. They're drawn from all corners of the Marvel Universe, but the combat is mostly, like, one of the cool things is this one has, like, team-up moves, right? Or was that only in the X-Men Legends games?
I think this has, and they're kind of random, they come out. Like, I think if you do, like, one of your powers at the same time as one of your partners, you do extra damage, but it's really kind of hard to line up so it actually happens when you want it to, so I never really bothered with it.
Yeah, it's like, I know that it still has the team bonuses, which is a cool thing. So as you unlock different characters, if you organize the characters into your, you know, like we said, your 4-person teams, you can get bonuses if those teams have some contextual reason for existing within the Marvel Universe. So if they're all members of the Avengers, you'll get a certain kind of bonus. If they're all members of the Defenders, which is like the bootleg Avengers, except they're not bootleg character, but you know what I mean. And you get a bonus. If they were members of the Fantastic Four, you get a bonus, etc. The game has a couple different endings as well. According to Wikipedia, I probably only saw one of them. But and there's a lot of other cool, like, you know, Easter egg-y type stuff. Or not Easter egg, but as I recall, there's like, you can probably collect like little, I think you collect little like mini comics or something, or like comics covers and stuff like that, that like shows you this is the first appearance of the, what was it, the Macron crystal and Uatu and all that. I'm just going to go over those over and over because it's the only things I remember. But yeah, it's got all these characters: Black Panther, Black Widow, Blade, Captain America, Captain Marvel, Colossus, Cyclops, Daredevil, Deadpool, Dr. Doom. Oh, he's a playable. Oh, that's right. You just said that. It just goes on and on. That's a lot.
Going back to gameplay for just a bit, I'd say to put my issue, but make it a little bit clearer, it feels like there's like 5 classes just kind of like split up across like 30 different characters.
There's the big strong guy, right? There's a few of those. and there's flying people. Although they're like crossover classes, because there's flying strong people too. what else? There's the people who can blast stuff, right?
Right. I think the game kind of assumes that you'll have people like specialize in different things. Like, you might have a guy who's like really good at using his projectile. You might have a guy who's like really good at buffing. The advancement systems aren't super complicated, which is okay.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, that's... I mean, I think if you play the game... It has difficulty levels, I think. And if you play the game with other human beings on your team, you probably want to play it on the harder difficulty setting, because that means you do actually have to think about who can do what. Like, you do... It does do stuff like you need a flying character, and the flying character, I think, they can pick up other characters and take them places.
Right. There are points in that I think the game wants you to change out your team, because you can... Play as whoever you want. Sometimes there might be like a thing you have to activate that only one guy knows how to work with.
Yeah, you can find like little like uplink points or whatever to change out your team if you need to at various points in the stages, and that lets you do it. There's like teleporting characters, I believe, in this game as well. Looks like there's Nightcrawler. Nightcrawler's in the game, so you can teleport, and he can probably grab people and teleport them. Doctor Strange can probably teleport and all that. And it does do stuff like that. There's other things, like, I think with, this is from the X-Men Legend games, but I know that Colossus and Wolverine can do the quote-unquote fastball special, where Colossus, who's one of the strong guys, throws Wolverine, who's one of the brawler guys, and just basically throws him like a projectile into enemies, and it's really cool, I guess. Yeah.
I will say, I don't think this game is really leans that hard on the RPG aspect, if you consider that a problem. Like, by default, the game will, like, do all your advancement for you, so you have to actually turn that off. So,
yeah,
if you're not into, like, managing characters, you don't have to worry about that too much.
Right, it's great, because the characters that you're not using will also gain experience, I think. I don't know if they gain exactly as much, or they just, like, gain, like, a base level of experience as you move through the game, but you're not super penalized if you just decide, you know what, I'm not going to be Elektra anymore, I'm going to be Silver Surfer. Like, it's, you know, if you decide to change, it's not, you're not going to be at a huge disadvantage. And you can also do training missions, I think, to level up further if you need to. And there's, let's see, what else does the game, it's, yeah, actually, you know, you're right, it's like the RPG stuff is very minimal. There is, like, there are numbers, there is math at work beneath the, you know, under the cover, so to speak, under the hood.
Like, I know the X-Men Legend games, you have like stats that were like list numerically that you had to advance every time you leveled, and this game ditches that, so it kind of simplifies things a little bit.
It does, yeah.
You know, that's probably for the better. You probably just want to play this game, just have your characters, like, just beat people up. That's okay.
Yeah, but it's not like a brawler. It's more like, it gets to be something like in between, yeah, Diablo and, like, Dynasty Warriors. So, like, in a Dynasty Warriors game, it's, like, a much bigger mob coming after you. You're cutting through, and it's much more chaotic, but this game gets pretty chaotic. And it is kind of the same sort of thing in some ways. And I haven't played Ultimate Alliance 3, which is the Team Ninja developed version that just came out this year. I've heard mostly good things, like the other games. It's, you know, basically like a solid like 7.5 or whatever out of 10. It's never going to be that good just because the amount of different things it's trying to do. But if you play it with friends, it's a lot of fun. What else can we say about this? It's hard, not just because there's two people only on this episode, but
yeah,
it's also just kind of hard to really get into this game because it really is just trying to be all things to all people.
I will say I feel it gets kind of repetitive after a while because the gameplay doesn't really change up a whole lot, even if you're changing characters pretty often. Like, it kind of, you know, you don't really do a lot besides just keep going forward and just keep beating up people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's puzzles sometimes, there's NPCs to talk to, but I mean, that's like 80% of the game is just beating people up.
Yeah, that is most of the game. It's not, there's really very, I would say very little stuff that I would call puzzles. It's mostly just beating up stronger and stronger dudes and figuring out where you're supposed to go. But even that, there's not very many branching paths. Even they always kind of come back to the end because you got to fight the boss and stuff. There's some dead ends.
When I say beat people up, I don't mean this game's really does well being a beat 'em up. Like, like I said, you got, like, your light and heavy attack, and you got a combo, so it's more immediate than some, like, Diablo, but I mean, it doesn't really feel like, how do I put this?
It's not like you're, it's not like a tactile thing like God Hand or something where you're, like,
no,
squaring off with
not.
Dudes. It's more like a swarm of anonymous dudes, like, coming towards you. So, like, whatever environment you're in, the bad guys will be, like, the most anonymous dudes from that environment. So if you're fighting, what would we say, Hydra, it'll be like the green and yellow jumpsuit guys, like just the nobodies. And they'll be like, and they mix it up sometimes, but you're basically just your standard dudes you're fighting, and they just keep coming at you.
Oh, yeah. Real quick, it doesn't happen very often. There are some points in this game you have, like, boss fights against really big monsters and such, and they're kind of terrible because you have to do, like, a specific thing and then do this really long QTE, and you gotta do that multiple times, and it's always, like, the same animation every time, and I hate it.
I think that's, yeah, I think that's mostly unique to this game, although I do recall fighting Apocalypse in X-Men Legends 2, the last boss had some QTE-esque, not QTE, but, like, weird set-piece type things that you had to do in an order to actually hurt the boss, and it took me forever to figure it out.
I hate to say it, but it's like, every time this game does something that's not beating people up, it kind of loses the plot, because you, like, you got the QTEs, you got one point where no context, you end up in Pitfall, and it controls kind of terribly. You wish you were done.
Yeah, and there's... But it's, I mean, I think it's like, you can't have gigantic bosses and not make it into some, like, sort of slightly different way of playing the game. Like, you fight, as we said, Galactus, he's really, really big. You fight the giant dragon, Fin Fang Foom, I believe, the best named character ever, which sounds like somebody asked their, like, kindergartner to name, what would you call this dragon? You know, that kind of thing, which I love. It's great.
Do you think we're ready to rank?
I'm trying to think of other things, because this is really, like, I don't want to call it a fan service-y game, like, because it sounds like I'm saying it has no value, but I do want to talk a little bit before we rank it about the ways that it,
like,
services the fans. I don't know what else to
I
say.
I would call it a little bit of fan service gaming. Like, you know, Spider-Man's on the cover, but I mean, this game goes pretty deep. Like, you're never going to see, like, Luke Cage or Elektra on the cover of their own game, you know? Not
true.
Spider-Woman.
That's a good thing, I think, that if whoever your favorite character is, once you've unlocked that character, you can just play. Even once you've unlocked the character, you can go back and replay the beginning of the game with them if you want. And, you know, part of being a comic book superhero fan, I'm guessing, is really, like, what is your, like, the thing that you love that nobody else loves? Or that, you know, your favorite character that you would want and that nobody else would care about. This game probably has a chance of having one of those characters. It's not everybody, but, you know, there's a chance. Like, if you really like Mr. Fantastic is a well-known character, but he's, like, a big stretchy guy. And if you really want to, you could just be Mr. Fantastic throughout the entire game. And that's pretty cool. And each character, for all the different characters they have, they do have stuff that they can do that unlocks as you gain levels, and it is appropriate to those characters. And the other thing is, like, you can unlock, I think, costumes as well. And that's pretty cool, too, because that allows you to play as, you know, basically the palette swap versions of the different characters. So you can be Iron Man, and you can get a costume to be the gray Iron Man. You can do... What else is in there?
Yeah, I won't say they weren't ever put in this game, because that would be wrong. I think the people working on this were fans, and I think it does show.
I guess the question is, like, how good can a game like this be? How good can you make a game where you've got this many different characters that have that many different things they're supposed to do, and the game has got to be such that it works with basically almost any combination of characters can get through the game, with a few exceptions where you have to get a flying character or whatever else to do it. There may even be things that only a really super strong character can do, but I don't remember that. And I could be confusing it with the Marvel MMO that came out several years ago.
My big problem is, when it comes down to it, a lot of the combat just feels like a big blob of people just mashing buttons on another big blob of people. And you don't really feel the differences between characters so much at that point.
I think we can give it credit, though, for at least that action for all the stuff that's happening on the screen is intelligible. And it was intelligible in, like, a 4:3 aspect ratio. So which this game probably wasn't stuck with, because it did come out for the Yeah, PlayStation 3.
That would have been PSP too. I have to imagine that. That has to be impressive. You can actually figure
out. Oh, that's how I played it. I think that's how I played it.
I mean, if you understood it then, it must be pretty well designed. I gotta say.
Yeah, I think that's how I played it. It wasn't the PS2. I must have that around somewhere, but it doesn't matter because my PSP is like completely broken. So it'll turn on, and that's all it does. Like none of the other buttons work. Good quality stuff. So, yeah, I guess we could rank it now. So, like I said, the lowest ranked superhero game on the list, this is nowhere near that. Like, that would be X-Men, right? That's still one of the lowest.
I'm actually looking at Marvel's Capcom 2, and I'd say if you want a good representation of the Marvel characters, this game is way better. Marvel's Capcom 2 is just kind of slapdash, and...
Where's that? Where's Marvel?
That's 279.
Versus... Yeah... So, yeah, that's basically, it's a famously broke-ass fighting game that's really fun to play with friends and not much else.
But I wouldn't put this over Beautiful Joe, if I'm being honest.
Where's that?
That's 243.
Yeah, Beautiful Joe is a much more technically sound game. A lot of these games are a lot more technically sound. You know, yeah, that's true. I mean, Marvel versus Capcom is kind of oddly a good comparison point, not just because of the license, but kind of because of the zany fun of it. Like, the fun is just like, let's have, you know, Wolverine fight Sagat or whatever it is. Like, it just, it's crazy. It's just dumb and crazy and fun. And it doesn't have to be that good at what it does. It just has to be fun enough to play with your friends and have a good old time. I just enjoy unlocking the characters and doing silly stuff. But this game, I think, has a little bit more value to it in a way. And I hate to say that because I probably spent a lot more time with MVC2.
Marvel's Capcom 2, the Marvel characters are just kind of there. They're not really put in with any real care, I would say, to be totally honest.
Well, let's be fair, though. They do try. So... For instance, like the character Rogue, the X-Men character Rogue, like her whole thing is that if she touches her skin to some other person, if they have a power, she'll steal that power. And this game, you know, Marvel versus Capcom 2, it's a fighting game. It can't really do that. So, but it does something where it's like she can do a special move. I think she has power drain, you know, with her, like that's a terrible impression, but really, whatever she says, it's the voice of the woman who did her on the cartoon in the 90s, which was really cool. And she'll get like a little bonus, you know, power up, different kinds depending on which opponent she does it to, and that's really cool.
All right, I'll allow that.
You know, I'm not saying, I'm just, it's very little, but there is stuff where they could, they did stuff with it, and they did weird stuff. Like you've got Bone Claws Wolverine, who is like Wolverine who sucks. And that was because at that time, I guess Wolverine lost the metal that was around his skeleton. Every time I talk about this stuff, I'm amazed I even know anything.
But yeah, we got a pretty big range here, 243 to 279. We can narrow down from there, can't we?
Okay, so I also think like you're looking at Street Fighter 3 Third Strike, right? That's a technically advanced game.
Yeah, that's a game you got to put a lot of time into, right, so you can really enjoy it, you know?
Right, but this game you don't. So I wonder how, like, if it's fun. Like, again, I think you have to think of this game as a multiplayer game. You don't rank, say, something like GoldenEye, and we didn't, based on how great its single-player campaign was, because that wasn't really the point of the game.
You know, at 261, we have Zodnos, which itself is a crazy party game. Would that be closer?
Yeah. I mean, it deserves credit for being an original idea. I do admire just the crazy spirit of that game a lot. And it is one of the few games that we've played for this show that made me laugh out loud.
I would put this like a little bit below Zodnos because, you know, Zodnos is just so much effort from the FMV and it's just like such a unique idea for the time. And there are two other games for Marvel Ultimate Alliance that...
I mean, you don't have to put it above Marvel versus Capcom 2. Like, it seems like most of the games above that, I think, would probably be better.
Yeah, all right.
You know what I mean? Like, there's Lemmings, there's Bungo, Street Fighter 3, Scribblenauts Unlimited.
Well, at 297, we got Spider-Man. That is a very good licensed Marvel game.
Right, that's a good point. I guess we're going to have to go down Gauntlet Legends...
That's a good comparison. This is a lot like Legends.
But it's a lot more fun, I think.
You know what? Yeah, allow that. Okay, so you can actually stop and take a break in this game for one thing.
Right above that is Paradroid.
I'm not super familiar.
Commodore 64 game that I don't remember. Above that is Outrun 2006 Coast to Coast, which is a pretty good game.
I'd be okay putting it like right below Outrun at 304.
What about right below Tempest 2000? How about that?
Okay.
I love Outrun. It's a fun game, but I don't think I would get as much enjoyment out of it long term. Even that one, which is pretty good. Whereas this game, I do think, like, when you got friends over, it's way more fun than playing by yourself.
And it's probably worth at least one more playthrough to see the endings you didn't see.
That's true. Yeah, that gives it some replay value. And it is just the zany madcap fun of getting all your buddies together and having a good old time where, like, Ghost Rider teams up with Dr. Doom for no apparent reason. And that's just... If there's a spirit of fun that's in the kind of dumb world of comic book superheroes, I think this game it captures that in a lot of ways. And it doesn't. And as such, you can grade it on a curve because it's not going to be like a great, great game, but it's pretty good and it's good enough. That's where it goes, right below Tempest 2000, right above Outrun 2006, Coast to Coast, Marvel Ultimate Alliance. Thank you for listening. And, I guess, what do I say now? Excelsior? Excelsior! That's all for this episode. Special thanks goes out to our lovely co-hosts and compatriots, our booking agent Jeff Rude, our theme song MC Norm, check him out at Normally Retro on Twitter, and our technical assistant, video editor, and scriptwriter Ed Burns. You can support this podcast by making a small monthly donation at patreon.com/HG101. I know, I did. By subscribing to the HG101 YouTube channel, and by following at GC9X and at HG_101 on Twitter. You can also hang out with us at our Discord channel. It's at bit.ly/HG Discord, but most importantly, help us spread the love of games by getting on iTunes, subscribing to HG101, and giving us a 5-star review. Do it because you like us and you want us to succeed. Until next time, keep keeping it real.